All righty, let me confirm. Jed, are you back with us?
I am.
All right, beautiful. To each of you and all of you, welcome to the Media Bits Power Hour. We are delighted that you are here. This is a program specifically for advertising sales leaders around the world. More than 10 years ago, Jed and I had a conversation and a dream and a vision of hanging out together every month and talking about the beautiful weather in Boston or the Galapagos or ad sales. That's what we're talking about. We're here to talk about ad sales, but Jed and I always have a good time, and I've been back east. We've even had the pleasure of meeting. How wonderful that was. What a tremendous day in New York City a couple moons ago. As all of you are getting settled in, you're always going to hear at the beginning of all of our Power Hour educational programs, find a quiet spot, no background noise, close your office door, turn off whatever electronics that might distract you. Speaking of distractions, these are always audio programs. It's not an accident. We don't want you on the screen multitasking or many-tasking. The more that you listen, the more notes you take, the more that you're going to get from today. So we want you to be fully present, and it's the coach approach that we've utilized with our advertising teams around the world for the last 20 years. The more notes you take, the more that you'll be able to take the things that Jed is sharing and deploy and utilize them immediately. In other words, we're going to be covering tools, resources, strategies, and techniques that will help you win, and you're going to be hearing things from Jed today that you wouldn't hear anywhere else. He has some riveting stats and information, invigorating news to share with you, invigorating.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to use that in a sentence, baby, and we're delighted that all of you are here. Last but not least, any questions? Many of you sent questions in beforehand. Beautiful. And if you have additional questions, just hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here, or send an email to ernest@powerhour.com. It will be up and running. So, without any further ado, Jed, how about some opening words about MediaBiz? I'll do some opening words about Power Hour, and then we'll launch right in, okay?
Great. Okay. Thanks again, Ernest. You know, for those of you who, for this, you know, if this is your first call, it's well worth to go back and listen to some of the topics that Ernest has covered. He does a great job and has a an enormous amount of knowledge about, you know, ad sales and how to improve revenue for your publication. So I always learn a lot from him, and I know that other people on the call do as well. So my name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids. Thank you all for joining us. We are a company located in Connecticut that works around the U.S. and Canada, essentially driving revenue to print and publications and their online components, and we do that in several different ways. A couple, which I'll just sort of mention as examples throughout the teleseminar, but not really what the teleseminar is about. Just sort of as examples, and you know, if you have any questions about MediaBids or your publication is registered, and you would like to get more out of MediaBids, or if you're not registered and would like to, either way, we welcome the opportunity to speak to you. Please give us a call or respond to the email, and we'll be happy to fill you in.
Beautiful. And Jed and his team at MediaBids do a wonderful job. They know exactly what they're doing in terms of driving revenue for you. They know exactly how to help you win, and they know more than I have ever seen from a media group or a buying group or an informational kind of program that I've – it just doesn't exist. When Jed begins to share some of the stats and data, both here today and I've heard him over the years, I just lean back and go, holy smokes, what a treat, what a gift. So stay tuned. We have lots to roll here. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in ad sales back in the mid-'80s, more than 30 years ago, doing just what you're doing today, selling ads, making sure I kept my renewals, you know, that was press hard 3 copies, I need a signature, doing exactly what you're doing. I launched my own publications, sold my own publications over the years, went to work for a billion-dollar media group 20 years ago, launched my company, Power Hour. Today, we work with groups around the world, more than 2,000 advertising sales groups in 11 time zones around the world, so we know exactly what will help you win today in print, plus the digital side. We obviously understand all of that piece. We have a search engine group, so we live on the search engine side on the web. We have expert LinkedIn training. We have 20 LinkedIn groups that we own and run with more than 120,000 daily readers. Think about that through the filter of a daily newspaper, for example, and where that would put us across the spectrum. We understand that dearly. And then every Tuesday we do a Power Hour Sales Academy just like this. The difference is it's open mic and we can hear your voices and engage real time with your questions. We'd love to have you join us. We never ever have competing sales teams that we work with ever. So that's about our integrity. Let's dive in here. We're going to be today talking about print ads, digital ads, which way is the wind blowing, right? So this is us really talking about, right, is it blowing from the north, is it blowing from the south, east, west, or northeast or southwest? That's what we really set out to talk to you about, to let you know what's happening across the space. So, Jed, let's kick it off. Let's roll.
Sure, yeah. I mean, just to use your example, I mean, I think as we'll get into some of the numbers, it's pretty clear the wind is blowing in a certain direction. The question is why and what we can do about it. You know, so let me just take a second and just sort of explain where I'm coming from with all this. I started MediaBids about 15 years ago. Prior to that, I had started a chain of small weekly newspapers, so I've been in exactly the same position that a lot of you are in today. About 15 years ago, we started MediaBids with essentially the idea being that we were going to try to automate the process of buying and selling print ads, and that's still a lot of what we do today. The idea was that there were advertisers out there who were not using print in large part because the process was just a burdensome one, and they were forced to talk to many, many different sales reps and many different different newspapers or magazines in order to get a buy together, something which other mediums have an advantage over print in that regard, right? Because it's easier to pool the buys and to buy a radio network or to buy a television network as opposed to contacting individual papers. There obviously are are networks out there for print, and there are some print organizations that that try to do it, but that's sort of how we got our start, is trying to really streamline that process. So we've been involved in sort of the buying and selling of ads for quite a while. About 7 or 8 years ago is when we noticed that things really started to change. And what started to change was that advertisers really began to push back on sort of the traditional, conventional ad buy that we were pretty good at for print, pretty good at selling. What advertisers started to do is they started to ask why they should spend their money on print advertising, not really based on price or based on sort of where else they were spending money, but because they were essentially asking what was in it for them, right? What they were going to be able to get from the ads that they were placing and the money that they were spending. They wanted to validate their investments. They wanted to understand their risk. And that was something which prior to that, existed certainly on some level, but it certainly wasn't as much in the forefront of advertisers' minds as it has really become. So to sort of answer the question, that we started out with, what are the key factors for, that advertisers consider? What I have found is that, the biggest single factor is risk. Risk in general is bad for any business, right? In any context, you can think of lots of different scenarios, uh, but but excuse me, businesses are adverse to risk, and so for an advertiser to make a decision about about spending money in a publication requires a great deal of risk when publications are selling those ads conventionally. And by that I mean when publications are selling space and they are, you know, they're reporting nothing about the details, reporting none of the data about how the ad performs. It's entirely up to the advertiser to determine whether or not that ad has paid off, whether or not that ad has been a good investment, a bad investment. And even today, most publications still do this. You know, most publications will essentially take the tact that if, you know, once an ad is purchased, the burden is on the advertiser to determine how well the ad has done. So risk is something that I would say has become the biggest detriment to selling print ads of any type, but print ads specifically. And there's a reason why risk has become something which advertisers no longer feel that they alone have to shoulder. And that is the competition which has sprung up, particularly the digital competition, has essentially taught advertisers that the risk doesn't necessarily need to be all entirely taken on by the person spending the money. And we'll get to some of the ways that risk has sort of been mitigated by other mediums, but it's important to sort of put yourself in the advertiser's shoes in the conventional ad buying process and sort of understand that when you ask an advertiser to purchase space or purchase impressions on your website, you essentially what you're asking them to do is to assume an enormous amount of risk and assume that they're going to be the ones responsible for determining whether that was a good risk to take or not, and so we'll get into some of the ways that you can sort of combat that, but it's something which has clearly changed in the advertiser's mind.
So let's pause here as you're listening to Ed speak. He's sort of rolling you back in time. He and we were very certainly aware of what's happening in the print space, the shift to digital, and all that's come with that. And yet the value of ads and the value of ad results is as important as ever. No one's backing off. The fact is, the world of advertisers, if I can just, Jed, speak on the behalf of advertisers, in the old days, right, let's roll the clock back 30 years when I first sold advertising, we had the newspaper, and it was a monopoly. The ad salespeople for the newspaper, generally Jed, sat in their office and fielded inbound calls all day. You had the yellow pages that if you missed the yellow page salesperson, you'd run out the parking lot to go get them, because if you missed them that year, you were gone for another year. Maybe you had some flyers you put out. Maybe you had a little referral engine, but that was it. You didn't have a lot of choices. Business was a whole lot easier. Let's go to TV and radio. TV, you had a couple of channels. I remember having to get out, I'll date myself, get out of my chair to go turn the channels, okay? It was simpler for advertisers, and it was simpler for us as advertising sales professionals. Let's microwave ourselves forward to today. So yes, there's an infinite number of choices for advertisers, and as long as you buy into that and understand that, you know, that's the first piece, but while there's an infinite number, we don't end there. That's where the selling begins, and you have to ask yourself, am I a must-buy? Let's go backward in time. Were the yellow pages a must-buy? Yeah, if you missed that June deadline, you were gone, invisible for another year. There were businesses, Jed, that would say, yeah, I'm going to open up my plumbing service, but I'm doing it in May, so I get in the yellow pages and I'm ready for, you know, June when it comes out. Literally, that they would set the launch of their company. So today there's an infinite number. We have to bring calm to the chaos, we advertising sales professionals. We have to ask ourselves what sets us apart from everybody else in that sector. We have to ask ourselves, are we the must-buy? And if we're not, then we're not going to be successful in our ad sales. So if we're just floating along, wondering why we're just a me-too buy like everybody else, or floating along, wondering about competitors and others giving things away and wondering why we're not getting renewals because we're not tracking. I mean, we can go on and on. There's a formula for success. And just hold the visual. It's like a burlap bag, which is nothing more than a piece of string. If you hold it by itself, it's string. If you weave it together, it's a burlap bag, and it can hold lots and lots of weight. Unravel it, and it's back to string again. Ask yourself, are you string or burlap bag? That's the essence of what we're talking about. Okay? So, Jed, bringing us back to this opening point and the spend and so forth, what else might you like to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I want to point out that you know, essentially what we're talking about here is not only is there an enormous amount of increased competition, but there's an enormous amount of increased competition for ad dollars that are where mediums are allowing advertisers to avert the risk. So what they're allowing, and I think, you know, everyone on this call knows this, you know, advertisers can purchase pay-per-click ads, they can do banner ads that are based on the number of eyeballs that see them. They can pay for these things that are based entirely upon results. And what that does is it shifts the burden of risk, right? It no longer is on the advertiser, it's on the media outlet. And I think that that's been one of the biggest changes in advertisers that we speak to, over the past 5, 6, 7 years, because advertisers no longer assume that they need to spend money on something that they're not sure how it's going to do. And we see this with large businesses, small businesses, all over the spectrum. Advertisers have been taught by these online properties that the risk should not entirely be theirs. And that's an enormous shift and something that really cannot be overstated, the difference in sort of that way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it bears out in the numbers. You know, I think that there's a direct correlation between advertising medium success that mitigate the risk to advertisers and the ones that don't. If you look at the numbers, you know, digital, this in 2014, digital is estimated to have sold about $47 billion worth of ads. Newspapers in the U.S. in 2014, $17 billion. Magazines, $15 billion. Radio has been the same for the past 4 or 5 years, about $16 billion. And TV, which has grown, but has grown very, very slowly, and in large part due to the enormous number of stations that are now out there, is at $66 billion. So you could see that you know, the money, the shift in money has really been to digital, and really been towards this method of buying, which takes the risk off of the advertiser. This is both a discouraging trend in the sense that you know, money's moving away from print publications, but it also points to an enormous opportunity, an opportunity which allows you to compete with the digital properties that are, you know, that are doing so well, at least in your area or within your niche. Because what these guys are doing and what these guys are offering advertisers is really nothing different than what you as a publication can do, and the results that are being generated when you're able to compare apples to apples really oftentimes come out favorably towards print. So it's really a matter of kind of thinking about the advertising opportunities a little bit differently than you may be currently thinking about them, and thinking about the way to sort of approach an advertiser and the language to speak, because that's really changed. You know, the way that advertisers' expectations have changed more than anything. Again, it's about risk. It's about what the role of the advertising medium really is.
And so this piece about, if I can just insert, this piece about risk-reward, right? It's always been an ongoing part of. I know in my own media world, you could come in my days and you could buy an ad at 500 or 1,000 or 3,000 or 5,000, and you could get, five calls, 50 calls, 500 calls. We didn't charge more for that. Then there were others that would come in and say, look, we don't charge you for the ad. We'll just tie it to results, and that gave a whole nother combination. Then we had another sort of group that would say, hey, listen, it's not a fixed amount. It's not free and based on what you generate. It's based on the number of leads. I mean, we've seen a whole variety of models and hybrid models around that. You want to say a few words about that, and maybe that leads us into kind of the next place that we're going here.
Sure. So, I think what Ernest is alluding to is the fact that, there are many different ways to sort of slice the same loaf of bread. The traditional conventional way of selling media, whether it be print or radio or television, was that you were selling space or time. You're selling a fixed thing that the advertiser purchases for a fixed amount. The results that are generated from that ad are entirely the advertiser's business. In many cases, the media outlet, whether it be a print publication or a radio station or a TV station, just didn't care, right? They don't have any way of determining how well the ad did. The advertiser pays their bill, and they're done. They hope that they advertise again, but they don't really have any way of knowing whether or not they in fact even should, or whether the ad paid off. There's an idea that the ads that are being placed are creating some sort of intrinsic value for the advertiser that cannot really be measured in sort of one ad or two ads. That the top of mind awareness or the brand awareness that the ads are helping to create are going to have an ongoing effect and positively impact that advertiser's business. As more and more digital offerings such as AdWords or Yahoo or Bing or banner ads or even something like Groupon have come along, what they've essentially taught advertisers is you don't need to pay unless you get results. You're not paying for the honor of being in my publication or on my radio station or on my TV station. You're going to pay only when we are successful, only when we can generate something for you. So that thing that the advertiser is paying for is defined, in many cases as a click or as a page view or as a form being filled out. And you can charge for that and digital properties charge for that in many different ways. They charge for it either, by the click. Obviously, that's the most common one with AdWords and Yahoo and Bing. They also charge for the lead, or for the sale. They're essentially charging the advertiser for an action. So as an advertiser, by paying for your media in that way, the feeling is, anyway, without thinking about it, without really delving into it, the feeling is that really eliminates your risk. If you feel like I'm only paying for clicks, and so therefore I got all these clicks, and so therefore, I know the advertiser's working, you have some degree of confidence that you're not wasting your money. And that's really changed the way advertisers look at the world. If you think about the average person at a large company trying to make a decision about where to allocate advertising funds, it becomes a lot easier to allocate them someplace where you can show your boss that results have been generated, and you can show the people around you that the money that you're spending is not being wasted. Just becomes a way to sort of legitimize what it is you're doing and the decisions that you make. And digital advertising has done a phenomenal job of giving advertisers the tools that they need to to measure and to really determine whether or not the advertising that they're doing is ultimately worthwhile. By comparison. Print and a lot of the, print, radio, and television, and specifically we're talking about print here today, really has not, and we'll get into some of the things that can be done. But if you're talking about a key factor for advertisers determining where they should spend money, I think the biggest factor for a long time has been what gives them the greatest certainty for success. What choice that they make will minimize their risk of taking their advertising money and turning it into sales and profit. There's lots of different ways to decipher it, but ultimately that's what advertisers want, right? They want to be able to spend money and make more. And so I think that to the degree that and we're going to talk about ways that we can show advertisers that's something that print publications can do, but to the degree that we can show advertisers that they are achieving that goal, then I think success follows.
Mm-hmm. So if we could, let's say a few words about some of the things that you've observed from MediaBits' perspective, right, on a pay-per-call basis and the use of ads, 800 numbers, the tons, I'll let you say more about the tons of individual ads you place. Say a little bit about that and what that means and what we've been observing related to that, Chad.
Sure. So to put it in some perspective, in 2014, let me just start over. What we do here at MediaBids is we place print ads on a paid basis. We buy lots of ads. We also place ads on a per-inquiry basis. So we also place ads in publications and then pay them based on the response that they generate. In total, in 2014, we distributed about 26,000 individual ads, and each of those ads runs an average of about 11 times. So we ran about 286,000 ads in 2014. Each of those ads has a unique 800 number that we're able to track and see the results that they're generating. Most of our tracking is done by 800 numbers. There are other methods of tracking as well, which are worth exploring. We've found the best success to come from 800 numbers. So as I mentioned, we place ads in both on a paid basis and on a per inquiry basis. On a per inquiry basis, we paid publications about $8 million in 2014 for per inquiry ads. Those are ads that were run just based on response. The idea here is to be able to compete with some of the mediums that are out there that are charging advertisers in the same way. The advertisers that we run on a pay-for-response basis are advertisers that are not spending any money in print, right? They're other than with us. By and large, these are companies that have long ago sort of moved online because they like the idea that they're able to control their budgets and see their response so clearly. But what we've been able to do is by taking this sort of pretty rudimentary tracking mechanisms that are out there, we've been able to give them a lot of the same data that is generated online. So what does the average 800 number tell us? It tells us how many calls each ad generates, how long the caller spends on the phone, where they called from, what time of day they called. From that, we can determine what an ad in a publication generates relative to the cost of that space. So we can determine, how many responses it takes to make the publication, to meet the publication's costs. If an ad is performing well, we look for other opportunities and try to replicate the success we've had with the one, you know, with that specific publication that's doing so well. Oftentimes it comes down to sort of readership profiles, you know, trying to better understand the types of people who are reading a particular publication, and then trying to find more people like them in other publications. If an ad is performing poorly, having this tracking results in one, you know, what it does, it gives us the opportunity to sort of better understand perhaps why it's not doing well. We can look at other publications that are also running the ad, seeing if they're not doing as well. If sort of all publications that are not, that, you know, that are running the ad are not doing well, then it means there's, you know, there's something wrong with the offer or the ad. If on the other hand, you know, there's just one or two publications that aren't performing very well when it comes to a particular ad, we know that there's something wrong with the readership of that publication. It just doesn't fit right with the ad that we're running. So all of these are decisions and tactics that we can employ based on the data that we collect from the 800 number. And for those of you who are not familiar with 800 numbers, they're incredibly easy to set up. They're transparent pass-throughs. You can get them from a number of different sources. Your local phone company sells them, as well as many, many companies that just specialize in essentially renting 800 numbers. And what they allow you to do is to overlay this number onto another number and get a very good indication of how everything, you know, how the ad is performing based on the results that come in. So I can't overstate enough how important collecting the data is when it comes to determining whether print ads or any type of ad is worthwhile to an advertiser. Being able to give an advertiser data about the ad that they're running and the money that they've spent is absolutely critical. And, you know, I think that it's not unfair to say that if we hadn't started doing that wholesale, you know, I don't know that we'd be in business today. I think it's that important, and I think that it's something which the advertisers we deal with really have come to expect. And I think, you know, I suspect that even, you know, the advertisers that most people on the call deal with expect the same thing. It's become, you know, the idea that advertisers are the ones who are responsible for determining whether or not their marketing dollars are being spent effectively is something which has really gone by the wayside. And so, you know, I encourage all of you to take the relatively easy step of using 800 numbers wherever possible, because collecting that data is incredibly valuable.
Mm-hmm. So what Jed is saying is, what is the opposite? If we don't track the inbound phone calls, if we don't track the clicks from our e-newsletters and our website, if we don't track the forms that are filled out and the leads that are generated, if we don't provide those things, then frankly, when you heard me kick off saying, let me tell you about advertising the way it was sold in 1942, 1982 when I began, or 83 when I began, you're going to do the same that we've always done. Gee, you want to place an ad, yes or no? Gee, do you want to renew an ad, yes or no? Hey, can I take you out for lunch, or take you for a golf game, or can I buy you a martini? So I definitely get the ad renewal, or I get another buy. I mean, this is old school, gang. This is, you know, stuff from two and three decades ago. If you don't have the data today, in this decade, in this day and age, we're being shredded. In fact, the whole success and the entire success of pay-per-click and Google, Google built on the foundation of what? We're going to measure every click, and then we're going to tie in and measure every phone call, and we're not going to run a single ad unless we validate it. Think about what they did right in front of us, ad mediums. For those of you that are on the newspaper side, the magazine side, that have been around 10 and 20 and 30 years, right in front of us, they stole our cake. They took our cake, okay, for one reason. They were going to measure every single keystroke and every single, as Jed said, action step, okay?
and it's happening right in front of us. So we have to decide what stand are we going to take, right? What stand are we going to take, which means that we will capture and track our own data so that we have the data that we need to sell and to renew, that we can say, in the northwest section of Calgary, here's how our newspaper performs, or how we can say, when we work with attorneys, these are the number of calls that you can expect based on this ad size. These are the seasonal adjustments up and down in the first quarter versus the second versus the fourth. These are the things that you can expect related to placement as well on our website, on the digital or the print. And make no mistake, I mean, and Jed has talked about this in prior educational programs where he's talked about the value and how valuable it is for ad agencies to come to he and MediaBids and how and the premium they pay for a print ad and a print lead and a print result versus digital. So this whole part about print is dead, print doesn't work, print dead, print this and print that is categorically false. It's not true. It's in fact why the realtors this year are projected, the first category that we're seeing, realtors are going to spend less this year in digital versus other mediums. And if that's not a wake-up call all by itself, plus when you hear Jed talk about the amount of ads placed and the amount of tracking going on, you're hearing insight from somebody who's sitting behind a keyboard between the results on one side and your advertisers on the other and advertising decisions on the other, like nobody else. There's nobody sitting behind his keyboard and his piano keys spread across. And when he shares with you the premium for those print ads, Jed, you slay me. I mean, that data is mind-blowing.
Well, the only thing I want to add to what you just said, in earnest, is just that, you know, and the reason why advertisers really need to know is because advertisers don't care, right? Advertisers, you know, they don't care whether it's coming from digital or print or you know, wherever it's coming from. What they care about is the results, and so what. You know, what these digital properties have taught advertisers is that, you know, you pay more for better results. And what I'm suggesting and what Ernest is suggesting is that by collecting the data, you can show your advertisers that they are getting good results. You can play the game that's being played with that's being played by digital right now by essentially saying to them, you know, we are generating some of the most high quality, best leads that you're getting, and they're worth a lot. Now, that doesn't mean, don't misunderstand us, we're not necessarily saying that you should go out and start charging your advertisers the way that MediaBids charges some of their advertisers on a per call. That may not be right for you. They're two separate things, and they're really, you know, it's important to understand that. Once you have that data, though, it really just becomes a pretty trivial fact about how you charge them for it. Having the data is the most important thing, and whether you're selling a call or you're selling space, if you can help the advertiser to validate that expense by giving them the data that you collect, it's an enormous, you know, it changes the game. You know, so some of the things that we do to try to show advertisers that print is performing is we try to find out some information before they start advertising, and this I think is really critical. You know, if you do collect data on clicks or calls, it's really important to have this information to be able to sort of overlay the data onto. You know, you need to understand the consumer's the advertiser's sales process and how consumers buy. You know, are they calling? Are they walking in? Do they buy from a website? You know, all of these are factors in response. You know, you want to understand, you know, if they have a website in their ad, do they get any sales from it? Do they have any way of telling if they get any sales from it? How many people who walk in have looked at the website? You know, most business owners that I talk to, And I'm sure it's not all, but I think most business owners have a pretty good idea of where their customers are coming from and how they're responding. They may not know the numbers, and that's where you're going to help them, but they do understand sort of what the traffic flow is. So it's important to understand how consumers buy from the business they are talking to. It's also really important to understand what the average ticket item is. You know, are they selling a $10,000 item or are they selling a $1,999 item? You know, that has an enormous impact on some of the stuff we'll get to in terms of how you use the data. You know, what's their close rate? And this is really important. How many prospects, on average, does it take for them to make a sale? You know, if someone has a fast food restaurant, you know, pretty much a one-to-one correlation. You know, people walk in, they buy a hamburger, they walk out. You know, if someone is selling mattresses or cars, right, it's a lot different. So you want to understand what the close rate is. If it's a phone-based response, if their average response is phone-based, you know, how many phone calls does it take for someone, you know, how many phone calls do they receive before they make a sale? And most of the advertisers, again, that I speak to have at least a pretty good idea of where this, you know, what that number is. What's the lifetime value of a customer? You know, is a customer that they bring in, you know, do they typically buy once? Do they typically come back, you know, time after time after time? Or do they, you know, what's their sort of value over their lifetime as a consumer? You know, again, something that most businesses will be able to tell you. The reason why gathering this information, then coupling it with the data generated from ad tracking is so important is that for print to compete with some of the sort of no-risk, low-risk options of digital advertising that are out there, you have to get your advertiser to look past the initial numbers, right? You have to get them to understand that just because they're paying a dollar a click doesn't mean that they're getting more sales from the click than they're getting from paying you $500 for a quarter page ad, to make up an example, right? That you've got to have them look deeper at what their close rate is online, what they're paying for a customer that they generate online, and what that customer that generated from online is likely to do as things go forward. Are they likely to buy again? Are they likely to make a valuable purchase? Are they likely to, you know, become a lifetime, you know, a lifetime customer? You know, these are all factors which really can even the playing field, but it doesn't work if you don't know, you know, because as a business, you know, most of the business owners I deal with, if they can sit there and say, you know, why the hell should I pay you, you know, $1,000 for an ad? I can buy clicks online for, you know, 50 cents or a dollar. It's, you know, unless you're able to really drill down and talk to them about it, it doesn't work. But if you do drill down and you are able to do it, that's when things can really change. So you get the data, you find out about their business, and then it sort of becomes interesting and much, much more fun than it is if you don't.
And Jed, just to share that come next month, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about selling ads and competing against Twitter or Facebook or pay-per-click or SEO or LinkedIn. We're going to sort and sift out what those key questions are, what those key variables are. So you're giving the group a little teaser for what's coming next. So let's circle back. Where are the winds blowing? Where to next in terms of the points that we want to make? And I know we have a number of questions that have come in. We'll continue to field questions. Just hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here or send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com and we'll work those right in here. So, Jed, where to next?
Okay. So for many businesses, the print and the online components of print outperform other mediums when you're able to to take into account some of the questions I just mentioned. And here's what we know, what we find very often with our advertisers. Most of, you know, we talked about the sales process that that advertisers use. You know, are people responding to an ad by phone or by web or walking into a business establishment? You know, most of the advertisers that we deal with are direct response and don't have physical locations. So a lot of what we do is phone call or web-based, and we find that phone calls generate about 10 times, a phone number generates about 10 times the response in print that their online counterpart would generate. So if we run an ad, for example, with 100,000 circulation in print, and I know that, you know, we could spend the next 2 days arguing about online distribution metrics versus print metrics, but relatively speaking, if you take the same amount of distribution online, measured by views, we get about 10 times the amount of response from print, from a phone call versus a click online. The average ticket item, and again, another one of the questions that I encourage you to ask, one of the things that we find over and over again is the average ticket item from an ad that's from a purchase that's made from a print ad tends to be significantly higher than a purchase made from a website. The reason for this is I think that when someone is calling, it gives the call center, which tends to be pretty well trained, the opportunity to speak to someone about what they really want. You know, most people online are looking for the cheapest thing and clicking. For one of our customers, ProFlowers, for example, the average ticket item purchased by phone is about $44, whereas the average ticket item purchased by through their website is about $24.99. So that's a significant difference to them. You know, I encourage you to ask your customers about close rates. We average about 40% close rate from print ads when people are responding by phone. This is a percentage of phone calls that convert. Sometimes we define converting as meaning a sale. Sometimes we define converting as meaning a lead where information is gathered, but sometimes a phone call is defined as a straight out sale. So all of these are sort of predefined. You know, we're asking the advertiser, what is it you're looking for? What is it that makes a good phone call? And that's what we're using for our conversion metrics. And the close rate we see from print ads by phone is about 40%, which is just a phenomenal rate. It's a rate that really nothing else can touch. The conversion rate for phone calls from TV, which has traditionally been a very, very strong medium for direct response, is usually about 20%. Radio, on a good day, radio is about 15%. The rates for mobile ads, for example, mobile conversion rates are just embarrassing, 1.7%. And even for something like keyword, like AdWords or keyword campaigns done through Yahoo or Google, you know, a really, really well-targeted, high-priced AdWord campaign will come in at about 10%. So 40% from the phone is really a spectacular rate, and I don't think it's because MediaBids in particular is doing anything special or our advertisers. I think that if anyone on this phone were to measure the phone calls that they were getting, I think that they would find that their rate was similar to that. I think it has more to do with the medium than it does with the specific advertisers or offers that we're specifically doing. So just to recap, you know, talk to your advertiser, find out about the buying methods, the average ticket item, their average close rate. gather data from the advertiser through their ad, present that data to them within the sort of the context of their expectations, you know, find, you know, understanding their close rate, understanding their lifetime value of their customer, and then using the data that's generated from the ad, show them exactly what it is that they're bringing in and what it is that they spent their money on. And what that allows you to do is to compare the costs associated with print or the online offerings of your print publication with the costs associated with other mediums. It's the only way to sort of even the playing field, and it's the only way to show advertisers that what they're spending in print and what they're spending through your publication is ultimately making them money. And that is far and away the most effective way that we have ever found to increase their ad spend and to keep them happy.
Okay.
So let's try a couple questions.
Yeah.
You want to try?
Yep. No, that'd be great. Which one would you like to address first? We got pages and pages of this. So just which one you'd like to, and we'll dive in, and we'll wrap up here towards the top of the hour with the questions that have come in both during and prior to. So where to first?
Let's see. So, for example, we got a question from Tennessee. How should a newspaper make the transition in adding an online website and ads? I know this is something you feel strongly about, Ernest.
Mm-hmm.
Diversifying diversifying the offerings. But you know, I would say there are lots of good reasons to give your advertisers as many opportunities as you possibly can. There are response is response, and you know again, if you sort of buy into the general premise, which I probably not very articulately laid out in the beginning, and that is that advertisers are adverse to risk, and to the extent that you can minimize their risk, that is going to make you more and more popular with advertisers. If you by offering them other opportunities and other mediums, what you're essentially doing is in many ways minimizing their risk, because you're giving them access to a greater audience, you're giving them access to different methods of advertising, which are just going to bring in different types of response. And the more you can do that, and the more effectively you can do that, ultimately the happier advertisers are going to be.
You bet. And if I can just jump in on that question as well from Memphis, the part about the newspaper and making a transition related to your online websites and that and so forth, advertisers are expecting it, ad agencies are expecting it. Don't misunderstand. We're not here to say that the digital is driving more value or better results. You've heard it from Jed throughout the course of our program here today. But advertisers are expecting it, so are agencies, and it's a part of a bundled buy. You're bundling print, your newsletter, you may be bundling in not just your website, you could also have Facebook visibility, although they've shifted their throttling. If it's B2B, you can also tie in your LinkedIn, you can tie in Twitter. I mean, you can do a whole lot. You can have a very comprehensive approach. But make no mistake, we don't want to throw out the baby in the bathwater. The print is the bathwater, and everything else is bundled around it and part of that story, okay? So that's a great question. Jed, where to next? Next question?
All right, so let's move, we're running out of time here. So the last thing that we said we were going to cover was when should your advertisers be using print versus digital ads and why.
Mm-hmm.
I made up a list of some of the issues that we run into and some of the ways that print really succeeds. People responding to print tend to be making a more considered purchase. Especially when the product or service that's being advertised needs to be explained a little bit. Print is very, very strong. Just one quick example. You know, we find that that advertorials, especially with products or services that are new, tend to do very well. Another real sort of strength of print ads is they stick around. You can see if you track phone calls that many of the responses from print ads come in days, weeks, even months after the ad runs, so people hold on to them. For any purchase that needs to be planned, like a high-ticket item or complex purchases that require require the consumer to, you know, have information together or some basic understanding of what they're buying, you know, print does extremely well, and the close rate, you know, vastly outperforms other mediums. And also increasingly, and this is not inconsequential, you know, many advertisers view print as sort of being an unduplicated audience, you know, an audience that they're not reaching through banner ads or pay-per-click or, you know, or whatever it may be. They're reaching the print customer is someone that is you know, is someone that really they've never reached before, and that's, you know, that's very, very valuable to a lot of advertisers. So yeah, I mean, it's you know, the thing that print doesn't do well, right? And you know, we've talked a lot about what it does do well. The thing it doesn't do well is generate enormous amounts of volume. Right, digital, TV, radio generate much higher volume than print. It tends to be crappier, but it generates a lot of response. And so one of the ways of combating that and showing your advertisers that, you know, the response that's being generated through print is worthwhile and worth spending money on is really by validating it, by showing them that the responses that they're receiving are high quality and you know, really worth continuing to invest in.
Perfect. And certainly, Jed, lots and lots of ground covered. I'm just going to weave in a couple of quick questions before we wrap up at the top of the hour. I saw we have a question that came in from Max. I hear print is showing signs of improvement. How best to direct this to advertisers in our print medium? Well, just like we've talked about here in this particular educational program, you can pull excerpts out of here. The Burrell Report, and Gordon Burrell is quoted about the real estate sector spending less on digital, thus the print. And if you Google for print stories, print success, print trends, print advertising, you'll find more stories. And what you want is a page or two in your media kit that handles that. There are 18 key components to making a powerful presentation, and that's one of those pieces that you, it's not that we are defending print, it's that we're explaining the value of print, and that's a very important distinction. So that's a great question. There was also a question from